This is Sportsline on WRMJ and WRMJ.com.
He breaks free. He's inside the 20, the 10, the 5.
A weekly in-depth look at the local high school sports scene.
Touchdown Mercer County. Touchdown Golden Eagles.
Sportsline is brought to you by your local country financial representatives, Tracy Bigham, Jason Potter, and Brent Bigham, offering insurance for your life, health, home, auto, farm, or business.
Get a launch of three at the gun. No good, and the Rockets have won the game. The Rockets head back to state.
By 6140 Run in Galesburg, your spot for custom-fitted running and walking shoes, Hey Dude shoes and Birkenstock sandals, plus Red Wing and Wolverine work boots.
A three at the gun is no good, and this game is over! The Tigers have won! They're going to celebrate! Purple and gold converging on the Don Morris Gymnasium floor! Unbelievable!
By Diamond Ag, your local ag retailer supplier, built from your local specifications with locations in Alito, Alexis, and Knoxville.
She throws the first three in a row for Rockridge! The Rockets have won three state titles in a row in softball.
And by Dale Jones with Merit Auctions. If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale at 309-299-6400. And now, from the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios in downtown Alito, here's Jim Taylor and Ty Taylor with Sportsline.
It is the WRMJ Sportsline on a Saturday morning leading up to Illini basketball in the 10 o'clock hour. Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios downtown Alito. We've been doing the Sportsline thing since station sign-on 1979. Weird that we're saying Illini basketball at 10 o'clock for pregame, 11 o'clock tip. They're playing USC, which is the University of Southern California, which is a 9 o'clock local tip-off time for USC today out in Los Angeles. But hey, whatever, that's what happens with TV rights and Big Ten expansion. But I know, you know, the people of that part of the country have a lot more things to worry about than the Big Ten basketball today. All right. Well, we have a great guest coming up in the program today, the great Steve Amey, who was a tremendous multi-sport athlete at Rockridge High School, three-time state champ in wrestling, and then a four-time medalist. Of course, a tremendous football player for his late father, a very good friend of the station, Rick Amey, and of course his brothers Kevin and Keith were on the airwaves, and Kay Amey, every once in a while, I love it. She'll post a comment on the WRMJ thread. But 61 years for the Princeton Invitational Tournament, the Pit. Steve Amey leads that thing, and we'll hear from him a bit later in the program. And and we'll get into our local quarterfinalists momentarily, but I'd argue maybe probably the best area wrestler here, maybe. I know that's probably a debatable subject, but Steve Rusk from Orion, of course, who is Cole Rusk's father. But Steve Amey won so many matches. But I didn't realize, and he'll get into this in the interview, he didn't get the opportunity to wrestle at the Pit when he was in high school, so he's not a Princeton Invitational champion. But give me the result, the local results of our local kids, and I hope my favorite wrestler in the area is still alive. My favorite wrestler, hands down, is Nate Lower for Rockridge. Please tell me he's in the quarterfinals.
He'd be tied with Ryan if Ryan wasn't injured. Right?
That's right, and that's a bummer because Ryan would be in the quarterfinals.
Oh, yeah, he would.
You feel bad.
So, and like you touched on, like, this tournament always is such a big deal. Like, there's 35 teams this year, and I think, seven returning state champions, and the returning state qualifier number is up, like, in the 20s or 30s. I think he talks about it in the interview, so I guess you'll get that statistic a little bit later. But locally, Rockridge has four quarterfinalists. Nate Lower, we're happy about that, at 106 pounds. Clayton Blumenstein at 126 for the Rockets. Jude Finch, no surprise there, at 138. And then Thomas Sowards at 150.
Agent Zero.
Yeah, we miss watching him play football, man. Maddox Anderson for Orion at 190. He's in the quarterfinals, so far, as is 215-pounder Aiden Fisher for the Chargers. Okay. So congratulations and best of luck to them. Today, I know it's always a pretty big deal if you can win the Pit championship.
Yeah, and the other thing we get into here with Steve Amey, and I was talking to you about it off the air with the track expansion in Mercer County, getting into it. He talks about it a little bit is, do you think there ever could be a conference wrestling tournament? And he talks a little bit about that. And I think more individually than a team. But you, even individually, you get the team title instead of the dual format. I don't know if you could do it in one Saturday or for take a couple days. And then what part of the season do you do it in? But I think it'd be pretty neat if they'd have a conference tournament. Because like he said, hey, this is a really good wrestling conference as well.
Yeah, I think that'd be fun. And like with all the other sports that are similar to wrestling in the sense that it's kind of like an individual and team-based sport, right? Like you talk about track and field or cross country or sports like that. There is the conference meet where, you know, like that's where the individual conference champions are determined. And then that's kind of how they do the all conference selection too. And I think that would garner a lot of interest. Like I'd be very interested in like a conference wrestling meet. I think that a lot of people would pay attention to those results. And I think they'd get like a good crowd wherever 100%. It was, you know, and with then, all and 12
winning,
schools.
And for the kid to win the championship in his weight class.
That would be pretty fun, I think. I think that'd be a great idea. My pitch would be to host it in Kewaunee.
Yeah.
That's where everything should be hosted in Kewaunee.
And I was
thinking, it's the epicenter.
Yeah. Brockman Gymnasium. I thought it was funny too, though, with Steve Amy when I was talking to him about how they seed. Because I said, are you the complaint department too? You know, with because they just seed it. It's not like a committee where the other coaches or whatever seed. It's basically Princeton, they determine how the seeds are going to work. But I mean, Steve Amy has grew up and
that's probably the best way to do it. I didn't mean to cut you off, but could you imagine how much of a nightmare it would be to have 35 and different coaches seed it? Oh my Lord.
And that's why he said, you know, I'm seeding it and I feel pretty comfortable with, you know, some of these matchups and tracking these kids. And in a digital age that we live in, it is easy to track, you know, those results. But 35 teams, 7 defending state champs. I forget how many state medalists, but no question, a big day at Princeton today. 61 years for that great event. And then the other thing, he talks a little bit about girls' high school wrestling and the one thing that they've done this year, I think it was in December, they've created the pit for girls' high school wrestling, and that's going to be a tradition
that will
carry on. So good to coach Steve Amy, and he sounds a little bit like his late father when he gets on the air, but he was such a tremendous athlete, and I know what Coach Cook always defaults to about, you know, you have those athletes that they compete for one reason. When they get out there, it's about, you know, winning the game or winning the competition in front of them, and Steve Amy fits that description 100%, whether he was playing football for his dad, you know, in the late 90s, they were such a force, and he was a big part of that. So always great to talk to him and reminisce a little. And I mentioned Coach Breeden in the interview with him because I said every time Coach Breeden comes in, you know, we always talk about Rick Amy and Bob Mitten and all those great wrestling icons from back in the day. All right, we'll segue to, well, let's talk later today. We have girls high school basketball. They do the Iowa-Illinois shootout. They do the girls for that at, are all the games at Augustana College?
They are split between Augustana and Wharton Fieldhouse.
And is Sherrard, we're doing them 4:40 today against North Scott, which should be a pretty good matchup. Yep. Now, are they playing at Carver or
they're
playing
at Carver.
Wharton? All right, so good opportunity for Sherrard, who continues to trek the right direction and looks like they are the favorite to get to the finish line right now to win the track title.
Yes, they are undefeated. They're halfway through the conference schedule in the girls' basketball race right now. So they've played 5 games. They've beat everybody so far. They're 5-0, a game ahead of Monmouth Rose. But by the way, Coach Swanson, he's an Augie grad. So am I. So we're excited to head back to Carver Center tonight. Let's go.
Yeah, it's awesome, man. So that'll be great. Now, do the Sherrard girls, they play any more shootouts before the regular season?
I think they have one at Illini West on Martin Luther King.
Oh, they're down there too, because Mercer County's down there too.
I don't know who they play, though.
All right.
So I haven't looked at that.
And North Scott, are they in the upper end of the MAC?
I don't think so this year. I think they've lost. I mean, they've lost to like North and Pleasant Valley, where they're playing, you know, really good teams. But I think this year they're a little bit. Hey, there's Tab Ballmer right there. He just threw up a peace sign to us.
Who's the head football coach for Mercer County?
So, but yeah, I don't think they're like quite as, like, traditionally they're always, I think, top end, but this year I think it's a little bit of a down year for them. But with the size of the school and kind of the heritage there, I think that's a fun, that should be a fun matchup for Sherrard tonight. They'll need to play well to win, I think.
All right, so speaking of girls basketball, and the conference was over, I can't remember what night it was this week, Mercer County played Sherrard in girls basketball. And, man, the Sherrard band is good.
Yeah, they are good.
And I just thought a great atmosphere and, you know.
That was a good crowd on a Thursday
tremendous
night.
Tremendous crowd. So I've said to people, again, great fit for Mercer. Now, I know the results probably aren't what this school district wants right now in terms of winning and losing, but it's the right fit. And, like I said, it's going to take some effort and consistency to be at the top end of that conference.
It's the right fit, and you have to beat those teams in the postseason anyway, so it really doesn't matter if you slaughter a bunch of teams in a league of schools you're double the size of when you don't win in the postseason, right? So to me, there's no other fit. It's the track, and like the big difference, and I've told people this with Mercer County, is like the difference is the depth of the league, right? Like the Lincoln Trail, it's not like it's just terrible from 1 to 12, but when you're in that league, normally in every sport, at least half and sometimes more than half of the league is like, it's an automatic win. You just know there's no way you're going to lose to some of these
things. In a sport like football.
Yeah, right. Where in the track, and I think this is in every sport, there are no teams you just know you're going to walk on the field or the court and be. There are no automatic wins. You have to earn every conference win in every sport, and I think that makes you better. And I know for Mercer County, they haven't had to do that in anything for 20 years. So although it's been a struggle, I think, you know, basically in every sport so far for them to get their footing, it is the right fit. They're the schools that are local, they're the schools that are the same size. It's where they should be. So
who do you think, I was thinking, so when I was over there at that game, like, who has the power scorers table? So the night I was there, you had Mr. Rasty, who's an ag teacher at Sherrard. You had Heath Smith at the official scorers table, and then you had Jansen Bender, PA, and then won the boys' side, Eric Hutchins.
That's about as good as it gets.
But
really,
then Mirko's got our buddy Terry Tracy and Coach Swanson, and who and then
Monty's
Coach Smith.
Normally down there. Yeah, that's a good one too. And then at Rock Ridge,
and then Coach Cook. Don't forget about us,
Cook and Tom Hassan. Yeah, it's a and then sometimes the shot clock. Brock
oh yeah,
Peterson
I'd probably
there,
default then with Tom Hassan. Yeah, sorry, everybody.
That's what they should have the tournament in. So anyway.
So here's another downtown description. The Farmer State Bank of Western Illinois, they got takeout this morning.
Right, no, but nobody cares about that.
All right, and what else? I wanted to mention the one thing I appreciated from Coach Glenn Cook this week. He sent me a picture of, we got to talking about the Harlem Globetrotters, and he always tells this great story. And if you ever are out and about and you see Coach Cook, because it's just this compelling, perfect description of a story. The Harlem Globetrotters bus when he was a kid broke down in Taylor Ridge in 1953, and he has a picture of it. And I just think it's such a cool story. But in Coach Cook, of course, he has all kinds of stories about that from back in the day. But 1953, pretty cool picture. I have it on my Facebook page. You want to get high school hoops from last night quickly? We had Rock Ridge and Orion, and Orion had a push at the end and got within, six-point difference at the end.
They lost by five. That was the closest they got. It was five, and it was like on a layup at the buzzer. So, I mean, the Rock Ridge was upset. And Rock Ridge, a big story. They were playing without Caleb Cunico, who is an all-state caliber player. They were still up 17 at half, led by as many as 21 at the third. Then Orion closed the third on a 9-0 run to make it 48-36 at the end of three heading to the fourth. And they kind of hung around in the fourth quarter, made a couple of pushes, but Rock Ridge was able to, you know, score enough to keep them at arm's length and win by five. And I thought it was a really nice win for Rock Ridge last night because, you know, they went on the road, and Orion had a great home crowd last night. It was packed in there on the home bleachers, and playing without a kid like Cunico, where now everybody's role is a little bit different. I think it does a lot for the growth of Wade Richard and Chase Wheatley, and even, you know, Baylen Lehmans, who's a senior, where they had to step up and needed to score a little bit more than they normally do. And they all, you know, rose to the occasion. Richard had 15. He had 13 in the first half. He was kind of the key to Rock Ridge getting out to that 17-point lead. Chase Wheatley hit 2 3-pointers in the first quarter, and then I believe Lehmans had 8. And then Bowl, typical game, he had 15, definitely a double-double. He probably had 5 or 6 assists too. And then Landon Wheatley had a nice night in double figures as well for the Rockets with 14. I told Coach Harris post game, like, man, the way they've been playing, they have looked really, really good. They've won 9 of 10 now. Their only loss in this stretch has been to UT, and man, they just it always seems like you get to the second half of the season and they just really start to roll, and it looks like that again this year, where I mean they looked really good for the first half last night. And when they get Kunikko back, which Coach Harris said he should hopefully be back for their next game, which is next Friday against Monmouth Roseville, I'm really high on the Rockets right now. I've been very impressed the past couple of weeks with how they've looked.
And they, of course, the big conference game that remains later this month is with Sherrard, but I think both...
It's 13 days away.
All right.
Start the countdown.
But they both schools still have some nice non-conference competition that they're going to play leading up to, you know, postseason play. And I think, you know, we need to start following a little bit closer maybe what's going on the other subsectional side, because there are a lot of good teams on that side. I know Peoria Manual is the heavy favorite, but you saw Bloomington Central Catholic. Of course, there's the potential. And then El Paso Gridley and Normal U-High getting a lot of attention. Haven't seen them play, but of course play in that Bloomington Normal Conference that they're in. So they play big school competition. So that sectional, and I'm so happy, because if you're a high school basketball fan, even with the gym, the size of it, at Sherrard, they're the host of the sectional. You're going to talk about four good high school basketball teams at that venue over the Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday that's going to determine the crown. I wish that the super sectional was a little bit more local than Springfield, but hopefully one of our local teams can get to the Bank of Springfield Center in downtown Springfield. And we talk about then the other side, you know, you feel coming into this, you know, you have to believe that one of the favorites to come in on the other side of that super sectional is West Hancock. And we've got to look at
them. Or Williamsville,
yeah. So we have you feel you have a chance. Now, they took care of business against Sherrard, but Rock Ridge beat him quite handily. So, you know,
were missing a player, though, against Rock Ridge. So that I think that needs to be noted.
Yes.
Their point guard, who was their leading scorer and rebounder. So, Rock Ridge did. I think no matter what, Rock Ridge would have beat him on that day because the Rockets played really well. But that is you need to note that. But go ahead.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's just what I'm looking at as we trek toward kind of the postseason here now, as we, you know, we flip the calendar, that a lot of our attention heads in that direction.
And by the way, last night Williamsville played West Hancock. They beat him 68-60.
Williamsville won?
Yes.
Oh, wow. That's a nice win for Williamsville.
So they're still undefeated.
Yeah. So that's and of course they were a state tournament team last year.
Yep,
so
they beat Macomb in the super sectional.
Well, that's
so
definitely a nice
what'd
win.
You think of Rock Ridge getting that win without Kunikko last night? I was really impressed with them being able to do that. And we say it every week, it feels like, but just the growth of like Rich Hart has been great to watch. He's averaging double figures. He is a good player, man. He fits right in with Rock Ridge. It feels like they always get a kid like that kind of makes a big jump from a sophomore to junior year, and all of a sudden he's a quality contributor. And Coach Harris said it on our post game last night, and I agree with him. He's like, he's played at a all conference level.
Oh, 100%.
I think he's averaging, you know, 10.6 rebounds a game.
If they wouldn't have been able to receive those contributions this season, where would they be at?
Right. Yep.
Huge. I mean, he's been a huge, and you're right, because his stat line has been impressive basically every game. And even with Kunikko playing, if he would have played last night, I still say that's kind of a trap game. And I still say Orion, and I know Riverdale's probably falling under that category too, of kind of being a wild card in the league, but they're not on the sectional side with Rock Ridge and Sherrard. I still say Orion is a team that can knock somebody off in the postseason, because they make shot. They can shoot the three.
Well, you saw it last night that it's like every game they do this where they have a bad stretch. Like the second quarter, they got outscored 23-8, and then the second half they come out. I feel like they didn't miss a shot. Like I remember last year, they played Sherrard and got down by like 18 or something, and then I think they made it was like six consecutive threes, and they like tied the game. It was absolutely crazy. Sherrard ended up winning the game, but that just Orion. They're just like, they're it's always possible. Like I was telling last night some people, like they're never out of a game because they can just start throwing in everything they throw up, because they do have some good players. Like I think Kyler Owens is as good of a guard as there is around here. So Yeah, but I like I said, really nice win for the Rockets last night. You want to talk about some of the other conference games?
Well, so, man, tough week for the Eagles this week with being on the road Tuesday and Wednesday at Macomb and West Hancock playing two very good teams, and then Riverdale's a good team last night that they played. And I know the game really got kind of lopsided late. But I know kind of looking at this week, you come out of the Christmas break and first day back at school, you're traveling to
Macomb
and then West Hancock.
Yeah, and that's the thing that I think is concerning with them is, like, you know, I think they've lost six in a row now, and I mean those games have been like over in 4 minutes, you know, where like they haven't been very competitive. And I know they're dealing with injuries, but it's hard, I think, for kids like 16, 17. They're super young too, Mercer County, as they have basically just one senior that plays. It's hard to stay engaged when you're just getting kind of throttled like that, you know, night after night. And I know, like, you know, if you look at their schedule, who's coming up next, it's Sherrard. And then they've still got to play Rock Ridge again. They play Sherrard twice. You know, they have Riverdale again on the road, Orion again, Monmouth Roseville again. Like, you know, and like we were talking earlier with the move to the track, like what the second half of the schedule used to be against for Mercer County was like last year. I remember I said, and I'm going to do a victory lap because I called this. We on our first sports line of 2024, I said Mercer County won't lose a game until the regional in boys basketball. And they won all, whatever it was, 17 in a row in the second half of the season before losing in the regional championship game. Because that's like what it was in Lincoln Trail. You just knew once you got to the second half, it was like, we're really going to start running up some wins here. And this, you know, with the track now, there are no, like I said earlier, there are no automatic wins in this conference. You have to play really good for 32 minutes to beat anybody, I think. And that just is, that's the, you know, learning curve. I know I talked about that in the fall with the football season. Like, it's in every sport, you know, the league in every sport is much better than the Lincoln Trail. It just is. The schools are bigger and the programs, it's not just better teams, but it's better programs, right? Like there are programs in the track. And yeah, it's going to be tough. I mean, I know like Sherrard, I know Merkel will be a heavy underdog in that game too. And then you got to turn around and play everybody again. And I just hope they can get healthy. Cause I do think like if they have everybody healthy, they're not like this where they're just getting beat up every night. Like I think that they could compete, I don't know, with like Rock Ridge or Sherrard, but I think with the rest of the league they could be competitive with. But just right now it's hard when you have two guys, I think, that, you know, would play a lot of minutes that aren't playing and you're already super young as it is. So don't get discouraged, everybody. It just is a, you know, it's a really good league that they're playing in, and they're playing shorthanded and they're super young. I mean, this is kind of what happens sometimes.
And to their defense, I give them a major tip of the cap when they put this schedule together.
Yeah,
this
I agree.
Year. When we were talking last year about, holy smokes, that's their non-conference games too.
Yeah, I mean, they wish, amped up. I wish they would have had this schedule like last year.
Oh, yeah, last 2 years.
Or the 2 years. Yeah, that's why I thought like the last couple of years, them being in the Lincoln Trail was such a disservice to like that program, because they really could, I think. It just was difficult because like the second half of the season, those games were just pointless. I mean, they were, oh my gosh. So anyway, I'm glad those days are behind us.
All right. So segue to Sherrard, and last night, you know, I didn't realize that they were down at halftime last night, right?
Yeah. 22-14 at half, and then they won 56-37. So I outscored Monmouth Roseville in the second half, 42-15.
Holy smokes. But that's one of those games, too, where you go down there and think, man, we only got 15 in the first 16 minutes of this game.
Right.
But credit them for coming back and making a statement in the second half, because, you know, that's one of those wild card teams, too. I think you look in the conference postseason-wise is what Coach Grant's been able to do at Monmouth Roseville. And then I was thinking, you know, I watched a little bit of the video stream last night. Man, Riverdale's got some good players.
Yeah, and they're super young. I mean, they
are
really
young. And I was watching
some
of their JV kids play, too, and I'm like, holy smokes.
Yeah, they're going to be good the next couple of years. And I saw some, because I just wanted to go back and kind of see, like, what the actual flow of the game looked like. And they had a good crowd, man, Riverdale. And that's the thing, too, with the track for Mirko is, like, you actually get to play with, you know, excitement about the games, and there's people coming and sitting on the visiting side. So, I'm impressed, though, with Riverdale. They're going to be really good the next couple of years. I think they start two sophomores. They had a freshman in double figures in the varsity game last night, too. So, Yeah, that's a solid group. But back to Sherrard, you know, I thought that was a big game for them last night because, you know, they had the really disappointing performance against West Hancock where they lost by 10. But, I mean, the game wasn't that close. They got, you know, beat up that day by West Hancock. It wasn't a good performance, really, by any means. And they get the win over Erie Provincetown, who struggled. But, like, going on the road to Monmouth Roseville is tough, I know, like, every year. And for them to be able to, you know, work through a really bad first half where you're down 8 and only scored 14 points and then to come out, mm-hmm. you know, in the third quarter out of the locker room and just kind of blow them out going away. I thought that was a big win. They've won 3 years in a row at Monmouth now. That's not easy to do. So nice win, and they're 15-2 now. So they got Mirko next Friday, I think. And then two Fridays, it's the Rockets, and they make the trip over to Edgington. That'll be a bonkers, crazy atmosphere. Oh, my gosh. I can't wait for that.
And I was, when you were talking about the West Hancock game, kind of listening to that last week, I had to laugh a little bit. I'm like, is that Brian Hutton filling in on the postgame show Saturday? But, you know, sometimes the truth, as they say, hurts. And the expectations for that team and the talent for that team, you know.
Coach Hutton was there. That rubbed on Coach Johnson a little bit, I think, that day.
I was going to say, when he got done with the postgame, did he just take his headset off and slam it on the table?
He didn't slam it, but normally he says something to me after he puts it down. But he just put it down and walked away.
And then I was going to ask you, where's Princeton at in the postseason? Do they go?
In the same subsectional as Riverdale.
Okay, because yeah. I tell and you, Byron, that's another team watching them play when Laporte came back at the Sherrard tournament. I'm like, man, that's a good team.
Yeah, they lost to Hall last night, though. So,
because is Sherrard playing them in a crossover in basketball or no?
No, they're not. Okay, no,
they're not. They do play Kewaunee crossover. Correct. In the track, and then you were talking about some of the non-conference games Sherrard has. They play Dixon, I think, the last game of the regular season.
Correct.
Which is a great opportunity.
They play Diet coming up at who's in the top, I think, 5 in 2A this week. They play them at the Moline Shootout. And then it's too bad because, like, a couple of that schedule got, like, moved around, like, 3 times. And I know we've touched on this before, but Sherrard, they play Quad Cities Christian the other game, which I think they were expecting, and I think they should have gotten, you know, one of the other top-tier teams, especially the small school teams that are at that shootout. But that's too bad, and we can complain. I guess I've complained about that enough. But I know Sherrard, they're looking – they have one open date on their schedule, and they're looking to fill that with, you know, one of those, like, top teams around – the state at the 2A level that hopefully they can get at, like, one of those, like, kind of non-conference showcase type games in. They got 2 open dates, so hopefully they're able to fill that. I know
you said also a possibility, right? Like a small school from
Missouri? I don't know. I think, though, they're looking for anybody, really. So
that'd be nice if they could play Williamsville.
Yeah.
And then they haven't decided yet, but I think – you were talking about Rockridge goes to the Riverton Shootout and yes. the potential opponent for them there. With
yeah,
the teams
so I
that
saw
the
some of the teams, like Benton is there, who's undefeated, state runner-up. Williamsville's undefeated. They were 4th place in state last year. Teams are both there. It's a really
Columbia.
Elite field. I believe Columbia is there again.
So Rockridge is going to play one of those
Yeah,
teams.
There'll be 2 top 10 2A games probably that day. And I think it's the last Saturday of the regular season. That's always a really elite field. Then, like, for Rockridge, their non-conference game's coming up, but they play East Peoria at the Moline Shootout, which they just beat Peoria High, and then they also play Morgan Park, who, like, is one of the proudest programs in the state's history, so.
And then, did Peoria High beat Manuel, or Manuel beat Peoria High? They just played
Manuel beat him.
Okay. But then, so back to the Riverton Shootout, Rockridge clearly is going to play one of those teams you mentioned, right?
Or not? I would think so, yeah.
I mean, because you would want those type of
Yeah, last year they played Breeze Central down there, who was number 1 at the time. So, well, yeah, I would think so. That'll be fun. I'm excited for that. That'll be
I hope they get to play Benton. I think that'd be so cool.
That would
Doug Collins' alma mater.
The funniest thing about Benton and their coach, when we were down at the state tournament last year, I was down, like, in the media room, and I was walking away, and he called me by my first name, and I was like, what in the world? I'm like, how in the world?
Oh, Benton Ranger.
Yeah, so he's like, you guys do a great job. I'm like, wow, that's crazy that you would would say that because he's like, hey, Ty, I'm like, who just said my name down here? I'm like, what in the world?
With a Benton coaching shirt on.
Yeah, Ron Weinmiller. He's a good guy. And then he knew you, too. He mentioned, he's like, yeah, it's your dad. He said something to me about my dad. I'm like, oh, God. So, but yeah, that'd be fun if they got to play them. They're undefeated so far, like I said, with they got a Division I kid that leads them. Docker Tedeschi, yeah. One of the best names in the state. He's a good player. He's like 6'9", 6'10". So.
Well, for some reason on my Facebook page, this like Southern Illinois sports thing will pop up every once in a while. And it has a lot of like Benton stuff on it. And it's the bananas, the crowds they have at those games down in that part of the state is absolutely crazy.
We talked about it last week, but that Pinckneyville tournament championship game. It was Pinckneyville and Benton, and like Pinckneyville hosted, obviously. Man, those pictures were wild. How many people were there? Oh my Lord. So,
and then speaking about high school basketball, I see today, and I've always wanted, and I've never been, and I want to go one time because Morgan Brought lived in the area. But today, I see the Winchester Invitational Tournament tips off, 102nd year.
Wow.
For that tournament, so that would be 1920, well, probably 1922 because of the pandemic in 2020, but 102 years for that tournament.
Right.
So, I mean, what a tradition that is, and I know that the community down there puts that thing on, does such a great job, and I've always wanted to kind of go down there and see that thing, but a tip of the cap to them. And that's tremendous basketball tradition doing that for 102 years.
Yeah, that's a long time of putting together a tournament, 102 years. That's pretty impressive.
And it's a 16-team bracketed tournament every year for 102 years doing that.
God, that's pretty crazy.
All right, so we have high school basketball today coming up at 4. What do you mean on the air, about 4:15?
4:15 or so, right around there, depending on how the games are going. So
again, Sherrard playing North Scott out of the MAC, and then what's Tuesday's night? How many games we doing next
Nothing.
Week?
Nothing. Everybody's off on Tuesday, so we're off till Thursday. We're going to do the Sherrard girls. We've done like 4 Sherrard girls games in a row. They play Rock Ridge next Thursday. And then Friday, it's Sherrard Mirco boys. Saturday is the Moline shootout next week with Sherrard and Diet, I believe. And then Rock Ridge and I think East Peoria is that day.
That they're Saturday games?
Yes, and then they also play Monday.
And then, so we'll be doing the games not the following Monday too on Martin Luther.
We're not going to do Sherrard Quad Cities Christian, but we will do Rock. Yeah, I forget which day is which that Sherrard plays Quad Cities Christian, but that game we're not going to do. So,
all right,
sorry.
Well, yeah, and then we're starting to think about the girls' high school basketball postseason is going to be here before you know it, basically early February, getting down to the finish line with regular season winter sports.
And we got to get to our interview with Steve Amy here momentarily, but I want to tell a quick story. So I texted Coach Swanson this morning asking him to bring stats for me, and he texted me back and he said will do, and then he goes just got done with a Mirco Sherrard fourth grade boys basketball game. I said, what was the score? He said, Tigers win 18-5. I said, man.
Where was the venue for that?
I think it was probably at Sherrard. Okay. I think they host like a little youth thing over there. And then Coach Johnson last week told me that when I saw him the day they were playing West Hancock, they had like a round robin where Sherrard, Mercer County, and Rock Ridge all played each other.
Oh, wow.
In fifth grade boys basketball. And he said he was surprised that WRMJ wasn't there.
Yeah, we should have been.
Broadcast the games. He said that the Sherrard, though, in fifth grade, they have two like teams of like 14 kids that play. So they've got a bunch of kids playing.
Well, with what they've done with that park program and stuff like there's a reason kids are playing over there because of what they're doing. So. Yeah.
So, all right, let's get to Steve Amy, huh?
We'll do that. So you're listening to the WRMJ Sports Line on a Saturday morning from the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studio in downtown Aledo.
If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale Jones of Merritt Auctions. The Merritt Auctions team have over 100 years of combined experience in auctions and real estate to help you gain full exposure to the market and achieve maximum return on your assets. Merritt Auctions specializes in live auctions, timed online-only auctions, and virtual online auctions. For a no-obligation consultation to sell your land or machinery, call Dale Jones today.
$15.29, but I'm here.
Hi, I'm Dale Jones with Merritt Auctions. Give me a call at 309-299-6400.
Are you ready for your teen to get their license? At Country Financial, they know it's scary when you see your kids back out of the driveway for the first time. If you know your young driver has the proper protection from Country Financial, it's a little easier. Contact your local Country Financial representative to chat about car insurance today.
In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Policies issued by Country Mutual, Country Preferred, and Country Casualty Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois.
Who doesn't love new kicks? When you need new footwear, come to 6140 Run in Galesburg. They have just the right fit. Check out their quality brands for fitness, Hoka, Saucony, Mizuno, and Brooks, for just hanging out, Hey Dude and Birkenstock, and even for work, Red Wing and Wolverine. Not sure? Grab a 6140 Run gift card. 6140 Run has the perfect fit for everyone. 6140 Run, 185 Main Street in Galesburg.
Discover the Diamond Ag difference and take your harvest to the next level. Diamond Ag offers the top seed brands in the industry, including Midwest, Stein, Brevant, LG, and Zotavo. Their nutritionals and crop protection will keep your fields healthy and resilient all year long, and no one in the ag retail industry offers a broader selection of fertilizer products and services. Contact seed manager Brian Brooks at 309-582-4681. Diamond Ag, with locations in Aledo, Alexis, and Knoxville, deeply rooted in quality people and quality service.
Jim Taylor back on WRMJ, WRMJ.com. Let's talk about a great wrestling event taking place this weekend. 61st year for the Pit, the Princeton Invitational Tournament. Get a chance to visit with 1999 Rockridge High School graduate Steve Amy, the head coach of the Princeton Wrestling Program. How many years you've been the head coach there now, Steve Amy?
This is your 17.
Holy smoke, 17 years at Princeton. So we're recording this interview on Thursday morning. Just tell us the anticipation. This has become such a premier event and a great lead up to the kind of the state series. What about the excitement here in 2025?
You know, we're pretty excited. This is the biggest field we've ever had. 35 teams, but the brackets are, you know, there's, I think, seven with over 30 wrestlers in it. So it's pretty exciting.
Logistically, tell us how you set this thing up and organize the brackets and get ready for this thing.
You know, set up for the mats and stuff. It's a giant puzzle piece that, you know, only works in my head, I think. And on some pictures, we got to get everything to fit just right because we're wall-to-wall mats. Bracketing is, it's kind of a pain, but track wrestling's made it easier because you can get on, you can see everybody's results. And we do tons of homework trying to make sure we get the best eight seeds for the, you know, so we get the best eight guys in the quarters, you know, best four guys in the semis, and then who knows that from there. But I think last year we ended up with 12 of the 14 weights. We had, you know, the top four seeds in the semis. So it's fun sitting down and seeding this thing and figuring out who beats who, but at the same time, it's kind of a nightmare.
All right. Well, I was going to, so they say a blessing and a curse, but 35 teams. So I think about, you know, you have the luxury of having this tradition where you can say, maybe I want you, maybe I don't want you. Is it nice to kind of be able to say, hey, we get to determine how we set this thing up and organize it because record of what you've been able to accomplish in 61 years, you know, and sustain this thing says, hey, that you're doing things the right way. So what about that?
It is nice. You know, we always get a few coaches that complain here and there. I've gotten a bunch of emails and texts already this morning about, you know, when do we get to put in head to head and enter it in the computer? I was like, we do our homework. We don't even mess with it. We're going to seed who we think is the best guy for the tournament. And, you know, there's always complaints, but you know, they got to deal with it. At the end of the day, you got to show up and wrestle whoever's there anyway. So
you're the complaint department as well, is what you're saying.
Yeah, pretty much. I just kind of brush it off and deal with it.
So if I remember correctly, so the storied tournament that has a run of 61 years. Now did you tell me once before that when you were in high school, you did not wrestle at the
Correct. Pit? Rockridge was not here until I came to Princeton, so we never came here.
How weird is that for you when you think about the legacy of that tournament and say, man, you can tell the kids, well, no, I'm a former state champ, but no, I'm not a pit champion.
I'm not a pit champ. No. So, yeah, it is a little weird. You would think, especially as good as Rockridge was, you know, in the late 80s, early 90s, you'd think that they'd have ended up coming here, but never did.
All right. Give me when you have 35 teams at this event, I would say really probably every bracket, then every weight class is going to be stout. But you tell me, as you know, a guy that follows all of this wrestling and you seed all the stuff, give me, I mean, what are some of the highlights for you when you look at the different weight classes?
You know, we got seven returning state champs that are already in the tournament, entered in the tournament. I think there were 26 returning placers, around 60 returning state qualifiers. And that's the stuff we look at when we seed, just based off of previous, you know, how well they did. And then we, you know, we take into account how good a season they're having right now too. But you got, you know, certain guys that are injured may only have, or, you know, had a late football season, like some of our guys, you may only have, you know, 10, 15 matches. So it's hard to base seeding off of 10, 15 matches, and everybody's schedule's different. And you may not see some of them teams from way down like Roxanna or Vandalia yet, unless you go to the Abe's Rumble. So it, you know, it's exciting. You get to see teams from all over the state, and it's the best teams from all over the state is what I really like about it.
So you said seven defending state champs.
Yep.
Is that
yep.
par for the course for you, kind of where you have that many each year? That sounds like a lot in 1 year, seven defending state champs.
Yeah, it's usually not quite that many. You know, usually there's four or five, but, you know, you had Vandalia had two transfers that were, you know, both state champs or previous state champs. So that bumps it up a little bit. But, yeah, you got, you know, like Jude Finch is – he's still here. You had a lot of guys winning, you know, as juniors last year or sophomores last year.
And then just as far as maybe a couple of the weight classes that you're kind of really interested as the weekend approaches.
Yeah, you know, the, you know, 132 looks really, really tough. 120, 126. You know, some of those little weight classes are just loaded with returning placers and champs and talent. It's fun to sit back and watch when I get an opportunity to. I don't get to watch a whole lot during this thing, but it's fun to watch.
And then of the 35 teams, who is kind of in the mix, you think, for the competing for the team title?
I'd say top two, just kind of looking at everything and looking at, you know, what they've done already this year, would be Vandalia and Coal City. That came down to the wire at the Abe's in the dual meet a couple weeks ago. And, you know, both those rosters are just loaded full of talent. And hopefully there's somebody that can, you know, knock one of them off. And that'd make it fun anyway.
So how's Princeton setting up in the 2024-2025 campaign?
You know, we got a pretty talented team. We got, three returning state placers. Another guy that was a qualifier and lost the match two place. So we got six, seven guys that we expect to at least be in late Saturday sometime and in those placing rounds. And then hopefully our freshmen that are in the lineup can step up and, you know, do their part as well.
All right. Give me an update on girls high school wrestling here this season. I thought it was really awesome that you had a Princeton Invitational Tournament, year number one, for girls high school wrestling back in December. So that's a good sign. So give me an update on, you know, how many female wrestlers you have at Princeton, and then deciding to put on a pit for the girls.
Yeah, you know, this is our fourth or fifth year with girls, and we used to run it with the JV tournament as well. And it got too big because of the girls. It got too big because of the girls, and then we decided to make it girls only. We ended up with about 200 wrestlers and 27 or 28 girl teams here. And, you know, we were done by 2:30. It ran really well, and girls had a lot of fun.
And that's something now that basically is in the hopper for you, and you're going to do a girls pit every year and establish that tradition?
Yep, every year we're going to run this thing, and we run it just like the boys' tournament. And they're pretty excited about it.
All right, so again, talking with Steve Amey, the Princeton Invitational Tournament coming up this weekend, 61st year for this event, 35 teams, and you have 7 defending state champs in the field. So awesome. So I was going to ask you, too, with the track here, you know, with kind of the expansion, and you see Mercer County getting in. Do you think there is an opportunity ever, because I was thinking about this the other day, to do, you know, like a conference wrestling tournament, you know, one weekend where you bring all the teams in, it'd be an individual, you know, wrestling tournament. Do you think that there would be that's something, you know, worth exploring as it relates to the track and wrestling? I think it'd be pretty cool because you have such great traditions and, you know, it's a great list of schools, and it'd be nice to see, maybe let's try and do this one weekend.
Absolutely. You know, the I would love it. I know there's a lot of coaches that are, they kind of don't know if they want it or not. They'd rather do a dual format where they have a dual team tournament, which would be fine too. But you know, it's the part that's hard with it is the logistics. When do you do it? I mean, it would have to be late December, I think, or early January when you actually have this tournament. Because then you get too close to regionals. We're all in the same regional, so you don't want to have the regional, you know, 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
But I think it'd be really cool. And you don't want to have the tournament too early, because then there's always a track team that's deep into the playoffs, or two or three.
Yeah, it'd be nice. It'd be nice to kind of at least maybe explore something like that, whether it be a dual format or an individual tournament format. But I just think there's such great tradition with this conference to do something like that in wrestling. All right. Well,
it's a great wrestling conference.
Yeah. So I was going to, and I know you're busy, and I appreciate the time with you this week.
No
problem. I was going to tell you the other thing. We were talking to Coach Breeden a couple weeks ago. He was in studio with us, and he always defaults to the wrestling stories of Rick Amey and Bob Mitten. So I know you would appreciate that, and I think about your dad a lot because he was such a great friend to the radio station. So, you know, his memory always lives big still back in the WRMJ territory. Now, your oldest, you don't have any in high school yet, do you?
Yeah, my oldest is a freshman right now.
So what?
Youngest is in seventh grade.
So what does he wrestle at then on the high school team?
He doesn't. He's actually our manager. He runs the Mat Boss, and he didn't want anything to do with competing this year. I was like, that's fine. Just, you're going to be around it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. Which, you know, he's been running the iPad with the stats and the video for so long that I haven't had any issues. Normally, I got to go back and fix things. So, and I haven't had to do that yet.
Yeah. All right.
Nice to have somebody that knows the sport anyway.
Yeah. All right. Awesome. And every once in a while, I'll see your mom. Awesome. Kay Amey will post something sports related on our WRMJ Facebook page.
Oh,
so I know she's a big fan and continues to follow high school sports in the area. Well, Steve Amey, awesome, man. 35 teams in the field. Princeton's doing it the right way. 7 state champs. Good luck to the kids this weekend, Coach. A lot of fun. Always great talking with you.
Yeah. Thanks. You too.
And you're listening to WRMJ. I'm Jim Taylor.
If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale Jones of Merritt Auctions. The Merritt Auctions team have over 100 years of combined experience in auctions and real estate to help you gain full exposure to the market and achieve maximum return on your assets. Merritt Auctions specializes in live auctions, timed online-only auctions, and virtual online auctions. For a no-obligation consultation to sell your land or machinery, call Dale Jones today.
$15.29, but I'm here.
Hi, I'm Dale Jones with Merritt Auctions. Give me a call at 309-299-6400.
You finally have your dream home. Now you need the right insurance to protect it, because when it comes time to file a claim, you don't want any surprises. Talk to a Country Financial representative to find out if you have the right protection. They can help you understand your options and select coverages to meet your needs.
In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Home insurance policies issued by Country Mutual Insurance Company, Country Casualty Insurance Company, or Country Preferred Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois.
Discover the Diamond Ag difference and take your harvest to the next level. Diamond Ag offers the top seed brands in the industry, including Midwest, Stein, Brevant, LG, and Zotavo. Their nutritionals and crop protection will keep your fields healthy and resilient all year long, and no one in the ag retail industry offers a broader selection of fertilizer products and services. Contact seed manager Brian Brooks at 309-582-4681. Diamond Ag, with locations in Aledo, Alexis, and Knoxville, deeply rooted in quality people and quality service.
Who doesn't love new kicks? When you need new footwear, come to 6140 Run in Galesburg. They have just the right fit. Check out their quality brands for fitness, Hoka, Saucony, Mizuno, and Brooks, for just hanging out, Hey Dude and Birkenstock, and even for work, Red Wing and Wolverine. Not sure? Grab a 6140 Run gift card. 6140 Run has the perfect fit for everyone. 6140 Run, 185 Main Street in Galesburg.
It is the WMJ Sports Line on a Saturday morning from the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studio. I'm Jim Taylor, Ty Taylor alongside. We're leading up to Illini basketball, 10 o'clock hour. That's pregame, 11 o'clock tip down at the State Farm Center. Illinois is hosting the Trojans of USC in Big Ten basketball. It's still weird to say that.
Yeah,
but,
it is.
Man, I will tell you this about Illinois, you know, still trying to figure out all these new players with the transfer portal, but holy smokes, what a season the university has put together in college basketball already with what they I'm just shocked how they rolled past Penn State. That wasn't even a game on what was that, Thursday night or Wednesday night, and I think they'll roll the Trojans today in Champaign.
I think so, too. Yeah, things are looking up for the Illini.
So that's why I say everybody complains about the portal. If you're an Illinois fan, you don't complain about the portal, especially with like college basketball. I was thinking, you know, they lost a very good player, great player in Coleman Hawkins, who's still playing at Kansas State.
Mm-hmm.
But do they miss him?
Yeah, it doesn't feel like it.
No, they because they got Yakishonish.
Yeah, and he didn't even play against
or Ivasich. Was that what his name is? Yeah. Thomas Love Ivasich. So,
but yeah, anyway. Yakishonish didn't even play against Penn State. That's why I was really surprised they beat him so bad without him playing, because he's legit, man.
Oh, and that's why I laugh a little bit. And I know there are some things with the portal, but the genie's out of the bottle, and it's like, to me, the blue blood programs are the ones that are losing out to the portal because they can't stockpile talent anymore. And those kids that didn't get an opportunity to play at those schools transferred, go somewhere else and make an impact. Ha ha, too bad. Like Illinois, for example. But it was interesting. I know Bielema has said the 1 week leading up to the South Carolina game, whatever the bowl was Illinois played in, he said seven kids that left Illinois wanted to come back. So I always think that's kind of an interesting storyline. So, but it is what the portal is. But enough about that. So Illini basketball coming up at 10 o'clock this morning and 11 o'clock tip-off with the USC Trojans. And then we'll have girls high school basketball again in the 4 o'clock hour this afternoon from the Iowa-Illinois shootout with
IHMVCU is
okay,
the sponsor.
That's what it is, yeah. As they take on, as it's Sherrard taking on Norris Scott. Mercer County, they're tipping off this morning at 10 o'clock, right here momentarily against, is it Durant? Is that who they're playing?
They're playing Durant. Rock Ridge plays in the 10 a.m. hour as well against the Davenport West Falcons, the alma mater of Seth Rollins. Seth freaking Rollins, as they call him.
Okay, so what school in Davenport has the kid that's going to LSU? Is it Davenport West?
I doubt it. In girls, no, because there's terrible.
There's a kid from Davenport, one of the Davenport
probably schools. North, I would think, because they're good.
Yeah, that must be because that Kim Mulkey was at one of the MAC games this year. Yeah. Is Davenport North playing in that shootout?
I haven't looked. I don't remember the full schedule, though. So.
Yeah, so anyway, yeah, Davenport West and Rock Ridge. There. So are they playing at Wharton today? Are they playing at, and Mirko's playing at Carver against Durant, so.
By the way, if you can't tell, my dad, he shows up for the show at like 8:55 and doesn't like look at anything. If you can't tell, he always asks like every possible question should know coming in.
I know Mercer County is playing Durant. I forgot about these shootouts, to be quite honest, are growing exponentially with all of these opportunities for teams. And is there's not a restriction then within the IHSA of shootouts you play in, because it just has to fall under the minimum game.
Yeah, which is maximum, which is 31. Yes.
Yeah. So, but you just see, you see more and more of these opportunities, and then getting the teams and getting the matchups and making everyone happy is a debate in of itself.
Yeah, so it's hard to put it together, but I just hope, like we touched on earlier, that Rockridge gets one of those top games at the
They will unequivocally
shootout down at Riverton. It's too bad. Did I say Rockridge?
Yeah.
Okay, because I was about to talk about Sherrard too. I just hate that they got stuck with that Quad City Christian game at Moline, and that's just a shame, man. But it's, I'm glad they get to play Dyett. That'll be fun to see where they stack up against a team that's in the top five in 2A after kind of a disappointing result against West Hancock. I'm excited to see how they, you know, fare in that game. I think that's like either the day or 2 days, depending on if it's Saturday or Monday, that they play Rockridge and then Dyett in the same weekend, basically.
And I think the other story that's worth following,
I think,
is,
or no, excuse me, that's that they play them after the Mercer County game, sorry.
But the other story that's worth following is that open game that Sherrard has and the opportunity to play a quality opponent. And
right,
I saw the Twitter post from Nesto Hoops this week about Sherrard is looking for an opponent and reach out to, is it Ethan Earle?
Ethan Earle on X, so, yeah, man.
So the wheels are in motion. If Nesto has tweeted out that, there's going to be a great matchup.
Yeah, I think so.
I think they're going to play a quality top 10 level opponent.
They should. That'd be a good game for both teams. So I'm hoping that's what happens.
Does it matter if it's on the road or at home for them? I mean, they would prefer probably that it would be at home. But
I think the two dates they put, one of them was a Tuesday and one of them was a Saturday. So I would assume like Tuesday, nobody's going to want to travel that far on a Tuesday night. But maybe if they can get a game on that Saturday date, it would be a quality, you know, one of those maybe longer trips. I don't know, though.
The game Tuesday night this week was so crazy for me. It's like you're fresh out of, you know, Christmas break, and it's Bloomington Central Catholic making the road trip to Rockridge, and then Mirko, you know, a decent trip to Macomb on that Tuesday night, and then turning around and going to West Hancock the next night, and they already had to do the Whiteside County road trip where they went back-to-back to Fulton and Morrison. So putting the schedule together.
Mind you, though, everybody, you know where the Lincoln Trail Conference tournament was this year? Or is this year
Princeville?
Yeah, so like, you know, it's not that big of a complaint because you would have been doing that worse than that anyway.
Over like 5 weeks, yeah, the LTC tournament.
So yeah, I'm not gonna really hear that much complaint.
So the format for the LTC still back to?
I have no idea. It's on the very end of. It's at the very end of the season. I don't know what the format is though.
So the girls' tournament, I would think, would be starting here pretty soon.
It's the last week of the season, so no.
For the girls, okay.
Yeah.
Is that? Did they change where they placed them in the conference tournament? Because I thought the conference tournament for the girls was always like in the middle.
Yeah,
of the
I just said that. It's that last week of the season.
Okay.
Now. Yeah.
Now, what was the methodology, I guess, for changing that?
I don't know. I think because it took 2 weeks and everyone's like, I don't want our schedule to be blocked off for 2 weeks. So they do it. I think it's a shorter tournament now, too, which is like, I mean, like I said, I think last week we talked about it. There are a couple weeks, so that's like the longest tournament you've ever seen. It's like 2 weeks to get done. It's crazy.
Yeah, so I'd like to see what the format is this year then, if it's a bracketed tournament or how that, and then making sure that you can get the, you know, that's where you're worried about weather a little bit. If you have weather, they're going to not be able to finish the LTC tournament, I guess.
Well, last year they basically had to do that anyway, even when it was in the middle of the season. If you remember the girls, they did that weird, they missed a day and then they just said, well, we're just going to do this as like a short little pod format and we're just going to have, you know, the top 4 teams can win it. So that's enough. Anyway, we've only got like 15 seconds.
So I was going to say, update then, Mercer County, I saw the school district superintendent earlier this week. He said they're still planning to hire the next head football coach. It would be a week from Wednesday.
Yep, and that'll wrap up Sportsline on WRMJ.
This has been Sportsline on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. Brought to you by Diamond Ag, your local ag retail supplier built from your local specifications with locations in Aledo, Alexis, and Knoxville. Your local country financial representatives, Tracy Bigham, Jason Potter, and Brent Bigham, offering insurance for your life, health, home, farm, or business by 6140 Running Galesburg. Your spot for custom-fitted running and walking shoes, Hey Dude shoes, and Birkenstock sandals, plus Red Wing and Wolverine work boots, and by Dale Jones with Merit Auctions. If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale at 309-299-6400. The preceding has been a presentation of WRMJ Sports, your high school sports voice of Western Illinois.